This is Blurring the Lines with Adam Bell and Peter Nicolaitis, IT entrepreneurs. Adam and Peter take on the topics of technology, business, life, and the pursuit of happiness and blur them together in the 21st century.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, and welcome to the Blurring the Lines podcast, episode 238. I am your host, Peter Nicolaitis, and joining me, as always, my co-host, Adam Bell.
How you doing, Peter? How do you say good night in German?
Good night, as in like good night going away, is guten Nacht.
Guten Nacht.
Guten Nacht. But guten Abend is more like good evening.
Okay, good evening. Yeah. All right. Well, like
good Abend.
Good Abend.
Hug, you know. Careful, so yeah, I mean, it'd be like good day, good morning. Yeah, good afternoon. People would generally say like good day, or it depends when in the afternoon, right? But it's like guten Tag is good day. Guten Abend is generally good evening. Good morning is guten Morgen. So there you go. I should have said. Guten Abend, guten Morgen, oder guten, wait, I got them wrong. Oder guten Tag. Und willkommen in Blurring the Lines podcast.
So. Yeah. Well, you are more tired than me. I mean, you've been up, I mean, yeah. You're 7 hours longer.
Well, that's the funny part. You're 2 hours difference, right? No, you're 1 hour difference. You're 1 hour
from. Or you, yeah,
from East. Yeah, you're one over. Yeah, no, we're 8 hours difference. Are we, no, wait. Oh my gosh, seven. No, we are seven. I keep on thinking you're one off from Scott. You know, you're two off from Scott. I'm three off from Scott. Except now I'm nine off from Scott. So yes, I am seven off from you. Oh man, time zones are so freaking hard. Like, not to make this the same, like I try to differentiate all the podcasts that I'm on, but we were griping about podcasts on the previous podcast that I was on too. Because time zones just blow. So anyway. Mm-hmm. Time zone, that's very related to some other stuff that I've got going on. Well, one thing is, as we know, at the time of this recording, by the time you hear this, I'll be back stateside, unless I decide to stay here, right? You never know. But I am in Berlin, Germany right now, just relocating for a few weeks just to see what it's like on life is like on the other side of the pond. This is the longest that I've ever stayed in Europe, in Germany, and you know, so it's my longest trip over here. Not my longest trip out of the country. I've been gone on longer trips for sure. So, but it's the longest one over on this continent. So,
it's considered to be a citizen. I know you.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you don't have any time restrictions on you. You could stay there for rest of your life if you chose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if I got a job tomorrow, I'd be in the apparently enrolled in the German healthcare system for life too. So maybe I should look at that yoga teacher, the opening that was at the studio I was at yesterday. Well, I'm here. So, but I've been here for, it's been a, time is flying, right? I've been here for 12 days already. It's mm-hmm. I was like, wow, it's, you know, time is moving along. My sleep has not been great due to a couple of things. One being jet lag, two being recurring shoulder discomfort. And it was bad enough for a couple of days there that I thought I had re-torn my rotator cuff again.
Yuck.
I don't think that's the case. Because on Monday I got a massage and I thought at the time it was a good massage, nothing special. But for the next two nights, I slept without difficulty and without pain for the first time in weeks. So turns out it was a delayed onset, great massage.
Yeah.
So I was very happy about that. But besides that pain and besides jet lag and also just, you know, eating too late or drinking too late at night, again, a residual effect of jet lag. The pillow that I have here at my Airbnb is atrocious. It's one of those super fluffy down, you know, like goose feather type thing with absolutely no structure to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried the first night to just live with it, and that was terrible. And then the next night I just grabbed my towel and rolled it up into mm-hmm. a neck roll and used that. And I can go to sleep like that, but I don't stay asleep like that. So yeah. That didn't work. Finally, today I went to a shopping center, one that I had been at last year, and I just bought a new pillow. And it's small, you know, it's smaller than normal size, but it shrinks down. It's not like as dense as like a, you know, like a Tempur-Pedic kind of mm-hmm. pillow, but it's much more, it's got a lot more heft to it than, you know, that featherweight thing that's that I've been trying to sleep on.
Right.
So I'm really hopeful that that's going to, you know, do the trick tonight. Of course, I realized I forgot to buy a pillow case for it, so I just shoved it into one of my t-shirts. So hoping that that will make the difference, because tomorrow morning is Saturday, and Saturday is generally my long run day.
Mm-hmm.
So last week it did not happen because I slept so poorly Friday night. I just took it as a rest day and just goofed off. It was a write-off day. But my hope is to get a real solid night's sleep tonight, because tomorrow I'll be running with a running club, or at least part of my run.
Mm-hmm.
So they're about 3 or so miles away from where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And so the plan is that I'll get up early, leave here around 8 a.m., run to the running store where they meet, run with them for around an hour plus, and probably run for about 2 more hours after that.
All right, so are they all German, or are they a mixed bag of people?
No idea. They're, if you want to look them up online, they're the Optimistic Runners group. And apparently it's, I guess it's at a store called Optimistic Runners. So I'll be joining there. I'll find a link so you don't have to Google for it. Yeah, plan is that I'll join them tomorrow at the running store. Who knows? Maybe I'll, you know, if I like it, maybe I'll buy something while I'm there. You know, like, oh yeah, these shoes of mine really do suck. So that'll be a new pair, right? So yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But this will be my first group run here in Germany. I mean, well, technically, when I was here in 2019, I ran with two of my cousins and one of my cousin's friends. So there were four of us. So I guess that counts as a group run too.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be my second group run in Germany.
So, all right.
There you go. So yeah, like I said, it's kind of late here, so I'll just bang right through all my topics if you don't mind, and then we'll go through whatever you got. So Garmin update.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I said, I've been covering more of the technical side of things over on the Friends with Bruce podcast, but here, more since, you know, you're into CrossFit, we're both into fitness, which is not to say Scott isn't, but you know, again, nice little delineator. As you know, I've been rocking the Garmin Forerunner for about a month and a half now, since mm-hmm. July 31st. And only within the last couple of days have I realized that Garmin apparently thinks that I sleepwalk a lot and very, very consistently. It has been racking up a few to several miles a day of extra running / walking distance since I got it.
I thought it only showed a quarter of a mile.
That was a quarter of a mile per hour.
Oh, per hour.
Yes. And I only know that for the time when I'm asleep. I'm not sure if it's adding that on during the daytime also, when I'm also active. So I went back and I looked, and I found a, like on September 9th, it said that between the hours of around 11 p.m. and 8 a.m. or something, that I walked / ran 2.3 miles. And so I drilled into Apple Health, and what's really interesting is you look at it and you see the distance for every hour is identical. Until I actually get up and start moving. So this is not, and you know, I emailed them that, I think I sent you the same email that I sent them, and I got the generic, you know, canned response. They're like, well, here are reasons that it might be inaccurate. Maybe you're wearing it in the shower. Maybe you're carrying a bag of groceries with one hand, so you're not swinging your arms. Maybe you have restless sleep. I was like, look, yes, no question. I have had restless nights of sleep, and you know, my sleep has been terrible. But look at what I sent you. Like, you know, it is the same exact duration every hour. Now, day over day, it's not the same. Like on one day, it'll say I ran 0.2 miles every hour. On another day, it's 0.28 miles. And another day, it's 0.23. But every day, like on Monday, every hour, I ran 0.23 miles. And every hour on Tuesday was 0.28 miles. Like, this is not some kind of just random fluke. Unless the reason for my feeling, you know, waking up and feeling so, you know, dead in the morning is that I really am a sleepwalking insomniac, and I am the most consistent one to ever sleepwalk this planet.
You need to video yourself tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the problem. So that was
kind of fun. That'd be awesome if it were true, though.
Yeah, I don't know if awesome is the word I would put on that.
Find out that, yeah, you get up every night and walk down to the corner and buy ice cream.
Turn around. Walk down and go buy another one.
Yeah.
Just doing laps. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like those laps are not showing up. Well, I mean, of course, if I don't record it as a workout, it's not going to actually show up, right? But here's the thing. So they sent me, you know, I got that completely generic knowledge base article, like the we're not even trying. You know, it's like we made a vague effort to understand the problem you reported. That was the effort that they gave me. Mm-hmm. And then I got the, hey, how did we do customer service response? That just came in today too. And I was like, terrible. Still have the problem. It's not happening. You know.
Yeah.
And then I followed up with more screenshots showing day over day, showing, you know, like, look, here's the last 5 days. Look at, you know, explaining, basically visualizing what I had explained in the email. Next email I get from them is, please confirm your order. And I was reading my emails in reverse order because helpfully that's the default that most mail clients do these days. And I clicked and the next order was like, oh, okay. Since that issue didn't, since the knowledge base articles didn't fix the issue, we'll just do an exchange. So I'm getting a new watch. I am not convinced it's the watch. This really feels to me like a software problem. So I'm not really convinced this is going to fix it, but we'll find out. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah. So yeah, I'm a little skeptical. So
unless they know something you don't know.
Maybe they do. Right. In which case they were just stalling to see if I would just go away, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah. But more on the, so yeah, that was, I guess, again, I was going to talk more about the physical aspect of things rather than the technical, you know, side of things. Mm-hmm. But I do have a couple of technical things too. So as discussed on a previous episode of Friends with Brews, Scott and I each have GLI brand routers, and they have Tailscale clients built in, right? We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. I've been having performance problems with my router. Not with me. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with my hands. I've got great hands. But my router has a problem. When I have enabled Tailscale, the performance on the router was terrible, even sometimes after I had disabled using exit nodes. Mm-hmm. And that I couldn't understand because it shouldn't be affecting routing. Now, for the last few days, it has been fairly solid, but I've not been using the router as an exit node. No big deal, right? That's fine. It's not a super... It's frustrating that it gets super slow and is unreliable, but... in a pinch, I can use it. Okay, fine, whatever. I brought with me an Amazon Fire TV stick because that's less work than carrying around a full-on Apple TV square, you know, hockey puck, right?
Right.
And everything was fine, except The other day, I was, or last night, I was fiddling with it, and I was trying to do to what was I trying to do? I was trying to disable tail scale. I was doing something with tail scale. I don't remember what it was, but I was trying to change the wireless network that it was on. And what I ended up doing was enabling tail scale with my Apple TV back in at home set as the exit node.
Oh my,
Oh,
yeah.
that's what I was trying to do. Now I remember. So I was trying to watch something on HBO, and since I didn't have tail scale enabled, it thought I was in Germany, and so it wouldn't work. So I
Right.
figured, well, heck, I will just enable my tail scale exit node. And as soon as I did that, it dropped all access to local area network devices, including my iPhone, which I've been using as the remote control for my Fire TV Stick.
Yay.
So suddenly I can't watch TV anymore, which is not the end of the world, right? Not like I'm sitting here for hours of time, every night watching it. And I suppose if I just turned off internet access, that might work. But that didn't work. And then I also got a report from one of my other devices that the Apple TV that I was trying to use as an exit node back home was offline. So presumably it went to sleep and it's not waking up. So I'm not sure if that's why tail scale on the Fire TV is hosed, or it's just because tail scale is enabled and it's not configured to allow LAN access. So, but I was like, with everything else I've got going on, if I really want to watch something, it's a smart TV. I could enter my YouTube or my Netflix credentials onto this, TV. Or frankly, I could just watch it on my MacBook if I really want to. It's not that big a deal. I
So
didn't come all the way to Germany just to watch TV.
yeah. So your Fire Stick won't get on the internet now at all?
It doesn't seem to. But I don't know that. I mean, even I think actually, I take that back. I think it does because, like, some of the
Oh, you didn't bring a
previews would
remote.
load. I didn't bring a physical remote. And the thing is, yes, now you get it, right? And the thing is, I didn't realize that until I had already come back from Vermont to Massachusetts. I left this remote at my place in Vermont because that's where the Fire TV Stick usually lives. I just grabbed it and it was like, okay, we're good. I got back to Vermont. I was like, I don't have a remote. But what did I do? Somehow I was able to fool it.
You know, it's a,
What?
can you not do a factory reset on
I think I could, but I just haven't.
it?
Then I have to re-authenticate to Netflix and YouTube and HBO and Disney Plus and Prime and Prime is already built in. I was going to say, and the stick itself, and enter the Wi-Fi creds. Well, of course, the Wi-Fi creds aren't working anyways. I was like, yeah, I could just factory reset and start over again, but and
Yeah,
actually, though, but even wait, if I did factory reset it, though, I'm back to the same problem that I don't remember how I fixed
without
not
a remote.
having the remote the first time. Somehow I did it. I remember I saw somebody online was talking about using a USB keyboard with it, but I don't remember if that's what I did. I don't even remember how I fixed it, but somehow I did fix it. But I guess I'm gonna have to figure it out again, or I'm just gonna have to wait until I'm back in Vermont with my remote and figure it out then.
Yeah, I might get me one of those the Slate 7 portable travel routers. That do you have one of
Yep.
those?
I don't remember which one. Scott and I have two different versions. One of them was slightly, well, they're both still supported. They're both current models. I think I have the Slate. I'm not sure though. Overall, I like it a lot. I think it was weird for a few days. Like I said, even if I had exit nodes disabled, tail scale was still really slow, but it's kind of hard to tell too, though, because sometimes the internet here at my Airbnb, it's kind of spotty. It's generally pretty solid, but it's gotten a little sluggish at times. So it's possible that the performance lag that I was feeling was because of that. But oddly enough, generally, if I ditched the travel router and went directly onto the house Wi-Fi, it seemed to work reliably. But you never know. Sometimes when you just make a switch like that, it could be completely, complete coincidence or what. I don't know. That's weird. Not having direct access to the actual router itself, it's hard for me to troubleshoot that. So again, it was like, do I care enough right now? No, not really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why if I were by myself, I'd just watch it on my iPad.
Yeah. Bingo. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm talking to you on my iPad, but I have a larger screened MacBook. Here's the other thing, too, is I forgot this. The hosts here helpfully leave an HDMI cable dangling out the back of their TV. I forgot my HDMI adapter.
Yeah.
I meant to pack it. I didn't. So, I'm like, all right, lessons learned. Here we go.
Oh, so cool. All right. What about you had working remotely internet cell schedule? I assume that was all.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I've been, no. Like I said, I've been working, keeping an Eastern schedule mostly. I've been decking out a little early, like some days around 3 o'clock as opposed to 4 or so. But I mean, my normal work days are up, it's like 9-ish to 4-ish. But one of the things, one of the things that's not great is, taking work calls that go until 11 p.m. because that's kind of rough. But one of the things that is nice is without even having to try having a few, if I want, 3 hours of work time in the morning to do deep work uninterrupted.
Yeah, that's nice.
Because especially on a day when it's a rest day that, I don't have to do whatever, I'm not running, I'm not doing my strength, I'm not going to a yoga class or something, I got plenty of time to kill. So, I was able to do this proof of concept and set up a YubiKey as two-factor authentication to an Entra ID tenant, for instance. And it's the kind of thing that, you need to sometimes sit and focus on something for 2-3 hour chunks at a time. And, it's like, I was on a call yesterday with one of my colleagues and he was just like, oh, we're going to, customer wants to, push this back 30 minutes. So, and we were on the call waiting for about 5 or 10 minutes already. He said, well, you can go do something else. I'm like, I don't have anything else I can do in 20 minutes right now. Yeah. I can check my email and that's about it. Right. Yeah. I can't do anything with that time. I need to, if I'm going to go into a maker schedule, I need 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours minimum. Right. I can't just get anything done because just when I start to hit my groove, oh, time to jump to another call.
Yeah.
So it's been an adjustment, but I think now it's been, we're closing in on 2 weeks now. I could get by here. I could be happy if you told me tomorrow, Peter, you got to leave the country, you're going to Berlin. I'll be like, cool. I've got a nice selection of coffee shops. I've been to one yoga studio. Tomorrow I'll be with my first running group. Plenty of places for running, more good restaurants than, that I know what to do with. I have not been the only place that I've gone more than once. I think I've hit the same grocery store twice, but that's it. Every other time, but I've been to 3 or 4 different grocery stores, maybe 5 at this point. So, in general, I try not to do any repeats unless I really, really, really like a place.
Because
I want to get some diversity here. I want to see what else is around. That said, I've been tempted to go back to a couple because a couple of the coffee shops that I was at have been really nice. One of the massage studios I was at had really good experience. I really like the yoga class that I was at. Right. But I also, I don't want my experience. What did you think of Berlin? Oh, that coffee shop was great.
Yeah.
So how
does this, cause you live in Boston, which is a big city. I mean, you're not directly in Boston, New York's just right down the road. So you have experienced really big cities. How does Berlin compare and feel compared to these big cities? Does it feel like you're in a big city, or does it feel different?
It's a bigger city than Boston, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the population of Berlin is like, what, 5 times that of Boston, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Which is still like, what, not even a third the size of New York, right? What's interesting about Berlin is there's like a lot of the same stuff over and over, right? You know, like at almost every place where the tram or the trolley stops, there's going to be a doner kebab shop. There's going to be a coffee shop. There's going to be a nail salon, you know, a bunch of like the same stuff over and over again. But then you start to get down into the heart of the city. That's where there's a little more, a little more personality. But of course, there's like all the chains. Today, for the first time, I noticed there's a Five Guys. There's like Five Guys, KFC, Starbucks, Burger King, all the usual suspects are very well represented here, for example. Right. So if you're missing your American stuff, that's your own fault. Right.
Yeah. Search more.
Yeah. But, it's interesting because like I'm in a right now for the first couple of weeks, I'm in a more rural part of the city. And, you know, we're talking like I'm in a 2-story apartment building, but a lot of the places around here are just one level homes, and some of them are quite small. Right. You know, so you think it's almost like Tuscan villa style things, sort of like out there behind over your shoulder there, mm-hmm. out in the back, right?
Yeah.
Little flat adobe style, shacks essentially. And then, I think I've been here about 4 days or so. It was a rest day. So of course I was like, well, it's a rest day. I'll just go for a 10K walk instead. Wasn't the plan. But I just started walking in a straight line towards the center of town. And it's really interesting because, you go about a mile, go half a mile, and then you've got like 4-5-story apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like row after row, often, like building right up against building, no alleyways in between them or anything. And it's just mm-hmm. building, building, building with the standard, commercial on the bottom, residential above, right? And then they start to get a little taller. And then, another mile down, you've got some more modern office or retail type buildings. And then, boom, you're right in the center of the city all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So, as you walk it, it's pretty interesting. But when I take the tram in or the bus into the city, it hits you a lot more quickly. It's mm-hmm. very quickly you get into the city center and it becomes more commercial, more metropolitan very fast.
Right.
So next week when I move, I'm doing another place towards the southern part of the city. It's going to be a little more of an active, like where the action is, which mm-hmm. is probably fine because most days when I've gone out, I've tended to head in that direction anyway. So, that's all right. But, it's cool. Like there's a really good bakery just across the street from where I am, but trying to follow my rules, I've only been there once. And right around the corner from that is a woman has, a one woman shop, a little restaurant where she serves breakfast and lunch every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there a couple of days ago and I was like, yep, this is just like the stuff that, my grandmother used to make. Not quite like my mom. My mom did it a little differently. But a lot of that's fun. There's plenty of Greek restaurants around here too, which is mm-hmm. kind of funny. You wouldn't think, but we're a lot closer to Greece than I am in Boston.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But again, lots of kebab places and stuff. So no shortage of good food, right? It's it's nice. That's comforting. And all the coffee shops, I've had really good coffee at all the places I've been. So that's nice too. I don't know. Yeah. It's there's plenty of places in Boston that I just cannot stand their espresso. It's just so sour and nasty. And I was just like, I don't understand why you guys drink this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And knock on wood, I have not had that experience here. So I'm very happy about that.
Cool.
What about you working on, how does your experience working in Alabama compare to mine working here?
Well, you know, I work completely over the cell there. There is no mm-hmm. cellular network. There's no internet at the house that I stay at. So I'm there for 2 weeks. But what I do is I tether my phone to my laptop, and then my iPad already has cellular in it.
Right.
So I do all of my Teams meetings over on the iPad, because then it's got its dedicated, and of course we're at 5G right there, so it's 5G ultra wide.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's super fast on both systems. But I did that for 2 weeks, you know, no problems. And I mean, as far as my team members knew, they didn't know the difference of where I was. Yep. So I could, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, well, I could go somewhere even without internet in the house, as long as cellular is good.
Right. And yeah, and that's the thing that's, I've been doing pretty much the same, but when I'm out and about, the first thing I try to do is find a, you know, like a coffee shop with decent Wi-Fi. And, you know, generally when I'm out and about, if I'm going to be sitting around at a coffee shop for like, you know, a few hours at a time, I'd like, you know, decent Wi-Fi, good coffee, and then a clean restroom. Those are the things I'm asking for, right?
Yeah.
And yesterday I found one minus the Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take a call. I didn't have any more time because some of the, you know, the reviews and things I'm looking on Google Maps and Yelp and Apple Maps and stuff. It's like, here's a place. It's a brew house, a coffee house, but they have, you know, a huge beer list as well as coffee. And I was like, all right, this is going to be great. I'm going to go there. I'll get a coffee for my first meeting. And then after that, it's going to be evening. I'll get a beer, you know, as I sip that into my second meeting, maybe I'll stay here for dinner. I get there, closed up hard, closed up. Like there's no furniture inside, closed up. I was like, this thing's supposed to be open now. What the heck? And I kept on moving around and I couldn't find the place. And, you know, so I just took, I was like, I got to sit down somewhere and I got to get off the street. Right. Cause even, you know, you take just a couple of blocks away and you're off the main thoroughfare with the noisy trucks and the buses. And now you're on like small little streets where there's cars, but they're moving slowly and there's a lot of pedestrian and bicycle traffic. And that's a lot better because you don't hear, you know, loud cars and stuff. Although I gotta say the noise cancellation on the AirPods seems to be pretty darn good these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because more often than not, I'm asking, like, people are like, are you, sorry, there's a lot of background noise. They're like, we can't hear it. It's like, I can hear it, but they can't, you know? So it's like the noise isolation for me is not as good as the noise reduction that they're getting or the noise cancellation they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take this call. And then the place I was in, the coffee shop I was in, had a separate little back room. And at one point I tried to move in there and my cell signal went down to like 3/4 of a bar. And so I just couldn't take the call there because the call started breaking up. But normally when I've been out and about, like today when I recorded the Friends with Brews, I was in a coffee shop with lightning fast Wi-Fi. It was like, I was getting like 5 milliseconds latency on my pings back to, you know, to Google and stuff. And I was like, that's nice. This is the way it was supposed to be, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
But yesterday I was using my cell phone and just chewing up my data. And oh man, I was so mad because I was following all the instructions that Zoom gives you to turn off incoming video.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, look, I tell people, look, I'm on, you know, I'm on slow cell signal today, so I'm turning off my camera. And they're like, okay, no problem. But I'm trying to turn off. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I was one of like 8 people on the call. So fine, if you want to have calls, you know, video on, have your video on. I was following all the instructions on Zoom, and some of them don't exist. They're like, you know, go here to turn off incoming video. Well, first you have to set the setting. And oh, if you have a commercial account, you have to do this. Did all those things, and the option to just disable incoming video. Not there. So I'm like, this is really annoying. I was like, well, if I take the call directly on my phone and then I background the app, would that work? Because I'm assuming it's not going to be pulling in the video at that point.
Right.
You know? So it's just, you know, that was because then I was just like, it's chewing up my bandwidth, but it's bad enough that, you know, it sometimes it affects audio quality also. So I was like, this is, no one's benefiting from this video coming in. I'll just turn it off, except you can't. So that kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, then AI, of course, we've talked about AI a lot, but you know, I'm using AI now more and more in real ways for work.
Okay.
Not just, hey, you know, show me whatever. I mean, and you have too. I mean, you've been using it to help with writing code and help with PowerShells. And, you know, I've actually done some HTML work with it. But what I do now is, you know, I evaluate projects, enterprise projects, from a technical standpoint for feasibility and what is keeping them from moving forward. And then I provide, you know, this is what needs to happen in order to move this project forward. Well, it's got a lot of form entry and I hate form entry. You know,
you hate doing it. Like you hate filling out forms.
Yeah. I hate filling out. I mean, and it is necessary. Like, what are the project objectives? Who are the account managers? Who are the service delivery managers? Who are the interested parties? You absolutely need that information, but entering in that information over and over again is terribly tedious. And
I totally agree. I'm trying to roll 2 retirement accounts from one company over to another one where I have all my stuff. And I need to fill out the same form twice. And I have to reconfirm all this stuff. And I have to go through the whole disclosure process with the losing vendor that I already had to go over the exact same ones with the winning vendor. And yeah, so I'm with you. I hate forms. I hate tedium. Sorry, continue.
So I've got this form that we fill out as the technical team. And it gathers information in this form and then we attach it to the project ticket to send it forward to move it on. Well, so I was like, okay, let me use Copilot. And I uploaded the form into Copilot and I told it, look, I need to fill out this form. I'm going to give you all the data entry. Do not change my format. Do not change the form. If you come to a field you don't recognize, leave it alone, you know? And so I uploaded the data that I needed in this form from the ticket and then from my own comments, and it filled it perfectly. The only thing that it didn't do was what I told it not to do of if it didn't understand what to do with a paragraph, don't do anything with it. And it was the example paragraph. So all I had to do was delete the example paragraph and it worked perfectly. It didn't change my formatting. I didn't lose my pictures. I didn't lose any of the bold, you know, the bold lines were all right. The bullet points were all accurate. I was like, this will work. All right. And so I explained it to my team and I said, this is how we're going to do this. And I tried it again, the exact same stuff. It didn't work. It absolutely would not fill out the form right. It changed it. I'm like, okay, so it changed a couple things. I'll get over that. I'll refix it. The next time I tried it, it would not put the entry information into the form that it did the time before. And it would, I would say, show me on the screen, all the data. And it would show me the screen. It would show it with all the data. I said, okay, the last time you created the form, you didn't put this data in the form. Put this data in the form. Oh, I'm so sorry. And I open up the form, the download the Word document. It's nothing. Nothing's in it. I'm like, how?
Yeah. Which AI are you using for this?
This was Copilot. And I because it's not confidential information, but it's semi-confidential. And I was like, okay, well, let me turn on GPT-5 because that's now a feature of Copilot. So I turned it on and it didn't help. It wouldn't do it. So I closed the chat, killed it all, and then started it again. And you know, the next one works okay, just slightly different. I'm like, this is a computer. I need to be able to replicate a process and input. If I input a structure and I give you the data to fill that structure, it should fill it the same every time, but it does not.
Yep. And again, that's something I should be able to comment more intelligently on that. And I don't remember, like, you know, where that whole thing is and where the deviations come from and the hallucinations and stuff. But I mean, I do know that it's par for the course that you should expect variances every time, even if you give it the same use case over and over again. You know, it's that weird fuzzy math. But I'd be curious if different models behave differently, like if, you know, GPT-5 versus Claude 4 versus Copilot, whatever. And also, you know, again, it'd be frustrating if you had to, but like if you narrowed your use case down to like something small, like if you were able to tell it, for instance, like just type the name Fred. Theoretically, it could come back and type Fred, right? But I'll bet you if you just say again, you know, just type the name Fred, eventually it's going to say, okay, I typed Fred.
Yeah.
Right? You know, as opposed to F-R-E-D, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's, I'm not an AI engineer, otherwise I'd have a better answer for you.
Well, and I actually, because I couldn't get Copilot to do it, and it would consistently not do it, I went to ChatGPT. And I did the exact same procedure, and it spit out the Word document like I wanted it. There were some, like, instead of it being a bold paragraph with, say, 14, it took it to like a header format. So it took up a top quarter of the page. Well, that's simple. Select it, shrink it, and it's done. I mean, I didn't terribly mind, but it only did that for one line, but everything else, it did it like the first time I dropped it in Copilot. So,
AI is funny. I feel like I should know more about it, but I can't explain this one. So,
yeah. Well, that's why we don't give it control over the world, because, you know, that's Skynet is completely irrational.
That makes me wonder, it's like, would it be better if it was more rational, or is it better off being irrational? I don't know.
I guess probably irrational, because you could talk it into something. When something is logically absolute, you can't talk around that. 1 + 1 = 2. I'm sorry, Peter. 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, but there are plenty of people out there who believe that 1 + 1 = 1.
Sorry, Peter, it equals 2, you know.
Oh, man. So it's got me thinking with all this international travel I've been doing. I'm thinking again, and I really got to stop thinking and start acting. But I'm toying with the idea of heading south for a part of the winter, as we had previously discussed. So I think maybe offline, I need to start picking your brain about Belize again or something like that. But I was also toying with the idea of when I make my next relocation move, of owning my own internet condition, right? And as much as I don't want to give that SOB the time of day, let alone more of my money, I'm thinking I'll probably sign up with a Starlink plan.
Yeah. Yeah. It works well in Mexico.
Yeah. So I wanted to, so you have it? Is it deployed there where you go in Mexico, or what do you got?
So our friends that are the missionaries there, that's their primary internet is Starlink.
Got it. So I'm looking at it. You know, I don't know. Well, I mean, if I'm going to be gone, I could temporarily disable my Verizon, you know, back at home. I don't know that I would make any changes back in Vermont though, because I want to be able to have things monitored, you know, but what I was thinking is like, well, could I just get Starlink for my place in Vermont? And then when I go, take it with me. Right. Yeah. And I'm looking at the portable version. Right. But that doesn't let me monitor the internet access at the home when I'm not there. Mm-hmm. But their portable option, the Roam option, the Mini, it's only, they give you two packages. One of them now is apparently 50 gigs of data per month. And it's, what is it, only, it's like $50. So I was kind of surprised when I heard that one. They've got a couple different versions. There's like the heavy duty one was $165 a month. But yeah, the Roam first package, $50 a month for 50 gigs of Roam data versus unlimited for $165 a month. So I was just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, 50 gigs a month, that's more than a gig a day. So I think between that and a cellular data plan, that's probably sufficient for me for when I'm traveling. So I don't know. I should probably pull some metrics on my router before I make that determination.
Yeah.
But, you know, $50 a month, not too shabby to have internet like almost literally anywhere on the planet.
Yeah. Well, and you are talking about a more, I don't know, say semi-permanent, not permanent, but like a longer term stay. So I took a quick look, and the Starlink has a website and you can check availability there. Yep. Because they said not all countries support Starlink.
Right.
That while it is a satellite plan, there is a land connection portion associated with Starlink that needs to be in place. So it's not like your Dish network. You just point it at the stars somewhere. As long as you're pointing at that satellite, you'll get it. There has to be ground support for part of it.
But I don't think that applies to the Roam, because the Roam, you can take it out on a boat.
Yeah. It says it will only function in countries where Starlink is authorized. So there may be some level of it on the water.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess if you're in international waters, I don't know what happens there. I would assume it works in international waters, but you know, if you like spray a little too close to North Korea, maybe they cut you off. I don't know.
So. Yeah. Well, that's worth doing some research. I mean, it really depends on where you go, because
it does. And I think I'm pretty sure, if I recall, unless they've changed it, I think that they still let you do like the month to month option. So you know, you can buy it's like whatever, however many months, and then you know, you can pause service while you don't need it. Of course, there's still the $500 hardware investment, right? You got to buy the kit first. So it's not just, you know, plunk down $50 and you're good. But still, I, you know, if it's something that I'm going to be doing for a while, and then if I could repurpose it somewhere else, either using it at home or using it at, you know, my place up in Vermont or something like that, that's, you know, that makes it that much more palatable.
And if you wanted to take it on the road, you could put it on the back of your Cybertruck and just go.
There you go. Well, I would figure, I mean, it should come built into a Cybertruck, don't you think? I mean, that Cybertruck should have a power wall in the back, and it should have SolarCity panels across the, you know, the top, and it should have Starlink built in. Come on, Elon, get on it.
So it does say on the water, high speed, the Roam plan in coastal and inland waters. So for coverage on international waters, enable ocean mode. So
I wasn't planning on doing international water boating, so I don't think that affects me so much.
It's only $9.99 for maritime.
And that rhymes.
But I mean, if you've got a boat that you can go around the world, $9.99, you don't.
That's a drop in the boat, the ocean bucket.
Yeah. If you even think about $1,000, then you're not in the right.
You're in the wrong boat.
You're in the wrong boat, literally.
Wrong boat. Yeah. Well, it's worth looking at. It's worth thinking about. So yeah. But you know, that's the thing is, if I did that too, I probably wouldn't need as much international data, you know, for my cell phone. I don't even know where I'm at right now. It's been, you know, I'm like about halfway through my trip here, and I haven't looked at my data usage, but I'm sure it's, I'm getting up there. I forget how many gigs I got and stuff. And then where I hit that cap, it's like, oh, from here on, you have 3G speeds.
Yeah.
I remember when that was fast.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be fast today.
No, no. It's fine for texting.
Yeah, not, it's great.
Not for MMS, but for texting.
Just text, yes. Plain old text, yeah. Heck, I can do that by satellite now. Why would I want to do that on data, right?
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I need to wrap up. I've got a hard stop meeting coming up. So,
well, let's not make that any harder than it has to.
All right. So, dear listener, we do want your feedback. If you'd like to discuss a particular topic, then you can drop us a line at www.blurringthelinespodcast.com. And of course, you can find Peter at yogawithpeter.com, friendswithbrews.com. You won't be able to find him at berlin.com because he will be gone. But you can find me at Roaming Roan Lavender Farm at rrlavenderfarm.com. And with that, we will hit the big red button.
To contact either us or our guests, visit blurringthelinespodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, do us a solid and subscribe to our podcast. And leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, Google Play Store, or wherever you found us.